For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. James chapter 4, our text today, and this year as we begin a new year together. And it is about time, is it not? It's about time. And James challenges us here in verse 13 of chapter 4. He says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year." I don't know if I like having that here because you can tell exactly how long I've preached, you know. But today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. In other words, he's saying it's not wrong to have plans. It's not wrong to set goals. It's not wrong to have a schedule. In fact, we should do all those things. But he says this, we take it all in divine perspective. In verse 14, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." We don't know if tomorrow will even come. "For what is your life?" What a question he asked. "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live or do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing," he said, "is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin." Lord, I pray that you'd help us and impress upon us, Lord, this great truth about time. How time is short and time is passing and time is fleeting and time is important and time is a gift from God. And Lord, help us this year as we begin this year together to redeem the time. For we realize, Lord, that the days are evil. And help us to be about the Father's business in these last days. Lord, we don't know what this year holds, but we know who holds this year. And we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here James says this, he says we'd better look at things in a divine way, in a divine perspective. In other words, he asked this question, he said, "What is your life? What is your life?" And it's not just a rhetorical question, he's not just saying, "What is your life?" But he said, "What is your life?" Then he answers the question, he said, "It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." It's here for a time, we're here for a time. Someone said that time is the great leveler of us all. And by the way, we're given time. I think Brother Beal last week told us how many seconds are in a day, 86,000 so many seconds in a day. We're all given the same amount of time, 168 hours in a week, 7 days a week, 12 months of a year, 365 days. We're given the same amount of time. What will we do with that time? And here's the thing, we're all challenged throughout the Scriptures concerning time. Time is the great leveler. Someone said this about time, you can't waste time without injuring eternity. And time is a wonderful gift from God. I like what a fellow said one time, kind of tongue in cheek. He said, "Time is a great healer, but it's a poor beautician." You'll get that in a little while. I was looking through some old pictures the other day, you know, and I think, you know, I haven't changed much. Yeah, I have. Cindy and I will meet somebody we hadn't seen in a while, and they'll say, "Cindy, you haven't changed a bit." I mean, just like I'm not even standing there, you know. "Cindy, I'll tell you, you look just like you did, you know, such and such a year. When you were my kindergarten, you look just like my kindergarten. You haven't changed one bit." I mean, what's that make me, you know? But time is a great healer, but a poor beautician. This matter of time, it is about time. Time is of the essence. Someone wrote this, "The future is something which everyone reaches at the rate of 60 minutes an hour." You think about this digital clock behind me. 60 minutes. We, We gauge everything within the hour, don't we? And we're all given 60 minutes an hour. And whatever he does, whoever he is, the future is something which everyone reaches at the rate of 60 minutes an hour. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, whatever you're doing, the future is something we reach minute by minute, second by second, hour by hour. Someone else said about time, time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Think about time. Think about time as far as eternity is concerned. God, of course, gives us time. I've often said we have time to do what we want to do. We're given more time savers than we've ever been given, more apps, more things to save time, but yet we often waste that great gift from God. It is about time. It is about time. And he tells us here, we don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, but we know this, our life's but a vapor. We know this, that life is segmented into days and times and hours. The Bible's filled with examples of time. I want to give you a few thoughts today and then wrap all of this up with one example of a pressing time schedule. Number one, I want to say this about time. It is a constant reminder. He says here, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time, vanisheth away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. For what you ought to say, we'll do this or that. If the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. If God allows me to live, Lord, I'm praying about these things. I'm trying to have a sanctified schedule. I've got this set aside. And this is what I'm planning, Lord. And someone said that life is what happens that, you know, in between what you plan. Time is a constant reminder of the importance of time. It's kind of a paradox there. The psalmist said, how long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Psalm 89, verse 47. He says, remember how short my time is. I've had people say to me, well, you know, I've heard that Jesus is coming all my life. I've heard that all my life. But I often say this, well, what is your life? What's my life? But a speck, but a grain of sand on the beaches of eternity. I mean, you think about, what are we? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And someone says, well, I've heard that Jesus is coming all my life, but you know, he is from everlasting to everlasting. He is God. He had no beginning. He'll have no ending. And just the fact that he has not come shows the long suffering and the love and the grace and the mercy of our Heavenly Father. And he says this, remember how short my time is. My time. My mom is 94. My dad is 99. And dad will often talk about things that happened years ago as if they just happened. Life is a vapor. It appears for a time. And he says, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? No, we won't. And so time is a constant reminder. Time flies over us, but leaves its shadow behind. It flies over us, but leaves its shadow behind. Time is a constant reminder. When my alarm went off this morning, constant reminder. Constant reminder. As I look on the clock on my car, constant reminder. As I look at my planner, constant reminder. As my phone goes off and reminds me of an appointment, it's a constant reminder. And we all have appointments, don't we? Time is a constant reminder. But secondly, I want to say this, it's about time. Time is a convicting rebuke when you look at time. It's a convicting rebuke. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, now's the time, now's the day. Today is the day of salvation. And Solomon wrote, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It's a convicting rebuke. as we look back, and I like to work off lists. I don't know about you, but I like to make a list and then check those things off, mark them out. I feel like I've accomplished something. You ever go through a whole day and you just feel like, man, I haven't done anything today? But then you touch your ear and it's numb because you've been on the phone all day, you know. You've done something. And you think about it, it's a convicting reminder and it's a convicting rebuke. I think of David who cried out to God at Absalom's death. He said, would to God, O Absalom, Absalom, my son, Absalom, would to God I died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. It's a convicting rebuke. As David said that, he thought about the 2 or 3 years that Absalom came back to Jerusalem and he never spoke with his son. And now Joab has run the dart through the spear of the sword through the heart of his own of David's son Absalom. He hung by the oak there and he died there, a rebel. And David cries out to God, would to God I had time. Time. I think of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. The rich man cried. The Bible says, and in hell he lifted, he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And he said, Father Abraham, he said, I have 5 brethren. And he said, send someone to my 5 brethren and tell them of this awful place. He said, Father Abraham, warn them. What was it that Abraham said? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. If they won't believe them, if they won't believe what God has already given them, if someone came back from the grave, they're not going to believe. Time. The rich man realized that he'd wasted his time. Time is a convicting rebuke. I've spoken with men who were dying and knew they were dying, and they'll look at me with a steely resolve and say this. Not many times, but I've had men say this. They've said this, I've lived my whole life this way. I'm not going to change now. Just with a prideful attitude and just simply saying, you know, I've lived my life for the devil, and just because I'm dying, I'm not going to show any weakness and humble myself before God now. But that's the devil's lie, isn't it? It's a convicting rebuke. It's a constant reminder. You and I will be judged based in many ways upon how we used our time. I'm so convicted as I preach this. But number 3, notice this, time provides us with a clear reflection. So we look back at time. We look back at our lives. Time provides us with a clear reflection. A clear reflection. You know, yesterday I was over in Roane County conducting a funeral, and as we went in the cars toward the cemetery there out on Clover Ridge. Some of you know where that is. And it's a large cemetery, and I've been there many times over the years. And as we drove out through, I hadn't been there for quite a while. Miss Vicky's laid to rest there, and it might have been the last time I was there. But as we drove out through there, I looked at tombstones, and many of those people I knew, they were neighbors of mine. Many of them were church members. I didn't know them all, of course. Some of them I could remember conducting the services. It's amazing what you remember. You remember how snow blowing and just the conditions, and you remember the day and you remember the family, and just reflecting as I went out through there and we laid this dear man to rest while his wife was struggling for her life in the intensive care in Charleston. Maybe back there this week. As I was driving out through there, one thing I noticed, though, I took a special note of this. As I looked at those tombstones, they all had a dash on them. You've read that about the dash. And I thought about time. And I thought what that little dash represents. They were born on a certain date, and they passed from this life on a certain date. And I thought of what that dash represents. That dash represents many years, maybe working in a plant or for a company. That dash represents births, marriages. That dash represents vacations, education, chapters in life, marriage, deaths, broken hearts, mountains and valleys. I thought of all that that dash represented. And to me, it was a convicting rebuke when I thought about that, but it gave me a clear reflection of my life. As I think of my life, I mean, it just seems like yesterday, and I've said this many times, and kids, I know you kids, you roll your eyes, you think, man, Pastor, we've heard this so many times. Yeah, I know, don't wish your life away and all that kind of thing. Don't wish your life away. But I remember turning 50 years old and preaching out in the gym and preaching on this subject, what I want to do now that I'm 50, what I want to do in the next 10 years. That's been 18 years ago. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? Time marches on. Time marches on. And we look back, it provides us, though, with a clear reflection. David said, would to God I had. But yet there was a Joseph in the Bible that said, thank God I did. I mean, it's not all regret, but it's rejoicing, is it not? It provides us with a clear reflection. I think of what Paul said, clear as a bell. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. I'm pushing away from the dock. He said, I've got a clear reflection that I'm glad that I got saved. And I'm glad that I continue to serve God in the midst of all that I've been through. I'm glad. Joseph had a clear reflection. As he looked back in Genesis chapter 49, his brothers came kneeling before him. Really, that dream came true, did it not? And he revealed himself to his brothers. They were scared that he was going to get revenge on them. And he said this, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Isn't it wonderful that we can look back at life and look, Life gives you some sucker punches. Life is not always the dream that we think. Sometimes it's a nightmare. But David said this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me, David said. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Time provides us with a clear reflection. David gets to the end of that, and he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I think March, a year and a half ago, I was down at Pensacola. We've got Whitney and Daniel here today and some Pensacola students. I was down there. Sometimes they invite pastors to come down and just visit for an overnight, and they show you around the school and all that. And we were in chapel, and one of the Rices, I think Pete Rice was preaching, evangelist Pete Rice. He preached on the 23rd Psalm. I don't know if y'all remember this. Y'all probably hear everybody preach, and it's hard to remember them all, but I remember it because I was sitting on the platform, and he said, Psalm 23, and I thought, what can he preach that I don't know about Psalm 23? I've heard every message you could hear about Psalm 23. But he got down to verse 6, and he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, he said there are times that even a shepherd can get away from the sheep. He can get away from where he ought to be, and the sheep can veer away and wander away from the shepherd's fold. But he said God doesn't let, as our great shepherd, as our chief shepherd, he doesn't let us wander off. He follows us. Goodness, mercy, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a clear reflection. David looked back at his life, but we remember him as a man after God's own heart. Time provides us with a clear reflection. Time offers us all a Christ-filled rejoicing time. A Christ-filled rejoicing time. Let me ask you a question today. What is your life? He offers us eternity. He offers us heaven. He offers us the crowns. He offers us to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He offers us forgiveness. Let me ask you a question. What have you done with your time? What have you done with your life? What have you done with your profession? What have you done with it? Have you made your profession of faith in Christ public? Have you followed Him in baptism? What have you done with your testimony? Have you shared it? What have you done with your calling? Have you obeyed your calling? What have you done with your gifts? Have you exercised your gifts? What have you done with your life? Have you invested your life in others? What have you done with your time? What have I done with my time? Have I wasted? What have you done with your soul? Have you given it to God? The future is as bright as the promises of God, William Carey said. And it is. Time offers us all a Christ-filled rejoicing. Turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 is one of those sacred, sacred chapters in the Bible. Luke gives us details here that other gospel writers do not give us. He tells us about all the people that are gathered around the cross there. It says in Luke chapter 23, verse 27, there followed Him a great company of people. There were all kinds of people in that crowd, just like there are all kinds of people here today. The Scripture says, though, among that crowd, in verse 32, there were also two other malefactors, criminals, led with Him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, verse 33, Luke 23, there they crucified Jesus. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left, then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted His raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, "He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him, offering Him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." They put this superscription in Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." But we're talking about time. It's all about time, isn't it? Their time was running out. In verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Jesus, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering and rebuked the other thief, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly." He said, "We're guilty. We're getting what we deserve. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." Jesus was crucified not because of what He had done, but because who He said He was. In verse 42, He said unto Jesus, "Lord, Lord," think about this, time was of the utmost importance. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." I think He was already saved. When he said that, "Lord, remember me," I think he was trusting Christ right then. "Lord, remember me." He had no time for baptism. He had no time for good works. He had no time for church membership. He had no time what time he had, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He said, "Lord, Lord, remember me. When you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, verse 43, "Verily I say unto thee, today," time, "thou shalt be with me in paradise." Today. He beat Jesus to heaven. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Notice the emphasis on time. Minutes, hours. And the sun was darkened. The veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And the Son of God was crucified and was judged by His heavenly Father. And He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The one thief railed on Him and accused Him with bitterness of heart. The other thief said, "Lord, I'm guilty. I believe You're the Son of God. Remember me when You come into Your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Today You'll be with me in paradise." And I said all that to say this, time is running out for all of us. Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 7, he said, "An end is come." There's an end coming. There's an incoming for you and there's an incoming for me. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. How are you using your dash? We have a clear reflection of the past. We have a Christ-filled rejoicing for the future. But time is crucial that we get out the gospel in these last days. Listen, friend, if you don't know the Lord, I don't know when your time, when your clock will stop ticking. I don't know when it'll stop. But God does. You might believe, preacher, I'm in the fourth quarter of life. When the truth is, I mean, you might be a young person and say, I'm in the first quarter of my life. I have my whole life ahead of me. I'm going to live for years and years. And the truth is, you might be in the fourth quarter of life with the seconds ticking off the clock. And let me tell you something, there's no overtime. What thou doest, do quickly. Trust Christ today. Redeem the time today. And for all of us, an end is coming. I don't know when that'll be. The trumpet could sound today. We could go out that know the Lord. But many would be left. How about it? What is your life? What is your life? What have you done with your profession? What have you done with your calling? What have you done with your testimony? What have you done with your gifts, your life, your time? What have you done with your soul? That thief took advantage of the time he had. Lord, remember me. God saved him.